This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey, everybody, it's Jessica, and I want to bring you some late breaking news that happened today, September 8th. I did record an episode about what's happening legally with President Trump's tariffs, and you're going to hear that episode at the end of this little update that I'm going to bring you. Again, what happened today? I want to actually talk about two Supreme Court decisions that occurred on the so-called emergency docket. One relates to ICE raids that are happening in Los Angeles, but it could have a ripple effect for the rest of the country. And another deals with whether or not President Trump can fire an FTC commissioner. So let's start with the immigration case and the ICE raids. What did the Supreme Court say today? Well, today, a majority of the court paused a decision by a lower court judge, District Court Judge Frimpong. She had issued a temporary restraining order, essentially telling ICE agents that the way they were implementing federal immigration law was problematic. And I want to talk about what she said, what the Supreme Court said and didn't say, and what this means for the future. So first, Judge Frimpong's decision. Again, she's a district court, meaning a trial court judge. She sits in Los Angeles, and she heard a challenge that was brought essentially against ICE agents and the way they were enforcing federal law. And specifically, what she found, at least in a preliminary basis, is that ICE agents were relying either alone or together on four factors, and that was not enough to give them the reasonable suspicion they need to detain people. So again, what we're looking at here is Judge Frimpong says, ICE agents, before you can detain people, you need to show that you had a reasonable suspicion to do so. And what she's saying is, and you can't form that reasonable suspicion just based on somebody's race or ethnicity, the language they're speaking, or whether or not they're speaking with an accent, where they are, and the job that they're performing. She's saying that alone, or all those factors together, that's not enough. So she said, basically, stop these roving patrols. And if you are going to detain people, you need more than just those four factors. Now, the Trump administration, unsurprisingly, did not like that decision. They appealed to the Ninth Circuit, asking the Ninth Circuit to lift that temporary restraining order. The Ninth Circuit largely kept that temporary restraining order in place. And then, as is typically the case, the Trump administration appealed up to the Supreme Court on an emergency basis. What we got today, again, Monday, September 8th, is a Supreme Court decision that is absolutely an interim decision. This is not a decision on the merits. Instead, what we have is a quick order by the court, and the order just says, basically, we're lifting that temporary restraining order. There's a lengthy concurrence by Justice Kavanaugh that indicates that he was in the majority on this, and then there is a fairly lengthy dissent by Justice Sonia Sotomayor. She was joined by the two other liberal justices, Justice Elena Kagan and Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. So we understand that this particular decision was 6-3. Again, I want to emphasize here, this is just an interim decision. The court has not yet decided to take the case, meaning this wasn't set for oral arguments. They haven't received all the briefs. They didn't, again, hear from the attorneys. Instead, what this is a reaction to the Trump administration saying, grant us emergency relief. And they, at least while this case plays out in the courts below, granted that emergency relief. So what did Justice Kavanaugh say in his concurrence? What he indicated is basically what we understand the court must be thinking based on their decision, again, to pause this temporary restraining order. And what he's saying is that those factors that the ICE agents are relying on, he's indicating he thinks that that is enough. in order to form reasonable suspicion. He says very specifically, race or ethnicity alone is not enough. But if you add the other factors, he's indicating that that might be sufficient. And again, if we look at the court's decision, it doesn't have any reasoning. It's just an interim order, but it means that the court thinks there is a good chance that the Trump administration could succeed on the merits of the case. And that's why they're comfortable pausing that or lifting that temporary restraining order. Now, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, in the dissent, she says this essentially allows for, I'm paraphrasing here, but racial profiling, that it's an inappropriate enlargement of the power of the executive branch and specifically here ICE agents, and that what they're relying on is not enough, that it's not enough to say we're going to round people up, detain people, and question them about their immigration status. I think it is all but inevitable that this case ultimately will go back to the Supreme Court, and then we're going to have a robust conversation about what is sufficient for reasonable suspicion under immigration law. So that was the first, again, quick emergency decision. Now I want to talk really briefly about the second decision, which is Chief Justice John Roberts issued an administrative stay. It's just a temporary order. But what he's saying is that the firing of Federal Trade Commissioner Rebecca Slaughter can move forward, at least for now. And now he did not offer, as is typically the case for these emergency decisions, he didn't offer a reason for the temporary ruling. But it could indicate that the high court, the Supreme Court, is inclined to overturn an appeals court decision last week that affirmed Commissioner Slaughter's reinstatement. Now, this case is bringing up another big issue, again related to the power of the executive branch, and in this case, the power of President Trump to fire the head of executive agencies and quasi-independent executive agencies. And I'm just going to outline really briefly what we need to think about. The question is, can President Trump fire basically anybody who's the head of an executive agency at will, meaning without any cause? Does he have the power to do so as head of the executive branch? Or when it comes to some executive agencies or quasi-independent agencies like the Fed, does President Trump have to show that there's some reason for the firing, that there's some cause, that, for instance, there's some malfeasance? And if he does, how do we show that cause? So that, in my mind, is the really big question that this case brings up. Again, we're not talking about the Fed here. Instead, we're talking about a commissioner with the Federal Trade Commission. So those were the two non-decision decisions today. I say non-decision because, again, this isn't about the merits docket. These are these temporary rulings, but they tell us a lot about the court's thinking, a lot about who the court thinks is likely to succeed, and they obviously carry a lot of weight with lower courts as well. So with that, I think I updated you on the big legal news of the day, and we're going to roll right into the previous discussion I had where I explained what is happening with Trump's tariffs. I hope you enjoy that. Today, I want to unpack what I think really is a blockbuster federal circuit court decision that goes to the heart of the separation of powers, trade, and emergency authority. I'm talking about the case involving President Trump's reciprocal tariffs and whether or not those are legal. The punchline here is that a 7-judge majority held that the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, I'm going to call it the IEEPA from now on, does not authorize President Trump or any other president to impose the sweeping tariffs that he tried to impose here. It affirmed the lower court's ruling setting those tariffs aside. So I'm going to break down what the majority said and what this means for all of us. First, the backstory. after declaring national emergencies tied to the southern and northern borders and the synthetic opiate supply chain, President Trump issued a series of executive orders imposing across-the-board tariffs. What are we talking about here? 25% on Mexico and Canada, 10% for Canadian energy, 10% on China, later raised to 20%, and then set a series of so-called reciprocal tariffs, a baseline of 10% on imports from nearly every major trading partner, plus additional country-specific duties that in some instances shot much higher than 10%. So businesses and a coalition of states sued in the Court of International Trade. That court ruled for the challengers, holding that the tariffs are not authorized by the IEEPA, and they entered a permanent universal injunction. That injunction is now called into question based on the Supreme Court's recent ruling that generally nationwide injunctions are disfavored. I'm going to leave a recap of that ruling for another day, but just to say that this is a significant win for challengers, a significant loss for the Trump administration, because again, you had this Court of International Trade ruling for the challengers, finding that the Trump administration did not have the power to impose these tariffs. So what happens when you have a significant ruling against the government? The government appeals. And the Federal Circuit took the case en banc, and they ultimately affirmed that trial court, the Court of International Trade, on the merits. So what do we mean here? The holding is that the Federal Circuit Court majority says the IEEPA's grant of power to, quote, regulate importation does not give the president the power to authorize these tariffs. One quote here that I think is the core of the court's decision: IEEPA's grant of presidential authority to, quote, regulate imports does not authorize the tariffs imposed by the executive orders. That really is the name of the game here. And now the question is why? Well, I want to highlight two big parts of the reasoning. The first is based on the text and structure of the statute we're talking about, and the second is based on the separation of powers. So first, the text and structure of the IEEPA. It lets a president, during a qualifying national emergency, I keep using this word, I'm getting to use it again, regulate transactions involving foreign property, including importation. But here's something really important to note. Congress does not use the word tariff when they wrote this statute. We don't see the word tariff. We don't see the word duty. We don't see the word tax. By contrast, in other statutes, we do see those words. When Congress wants to delegate tariff imposing authority, meaning when Congress wants to give the authority to impose tariffs to the president, it generally says so explicitly and sets clear limits. Let's think about Section 338 of the Tariff Act of 1930. Let's think about Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974 and others. The IEEPA is different. It uses the broader word regulate, which the court reads as not a blank check to this president or any president to impose new taxes or duties beyond the detailed tariff schedules that Congress has already crafted. So that's the first big part of this ruling, the text and structure of the IEEPA. Absolutely related to that, this issue of separation powers and the tariff power. What do we mean by this? Under the Constitution, Congress has the authority to regulate interstate commerce. But Congress can give that authority away, and sometimes it does. And we just talked about a number of different statutes where Congress does delegate some of this authority, including the authority to impose tariffs. Now, historically, Congress has set tariff schedules, and when they delegate power to the executive, they cabin that authority with percentage caps, temporal limits, or defined triggers. For instance, in the trade statutes that are part of something called Title 19, the majority underscores that the IEEPA is really different. In fact, lives in an entirely different neighborhood. that it's an emergency economic sanction statute, not a tariff delegation, and that using the IEEPA to overwrite other tariff statutes, in fact, would essentially collapse the careful legislative framework that Congress has created. One quick statutory interpretation nugget here. The court notes that the absence of tariff terms in the IEEPA is significantly, as we talked about, contrasted with something like Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act. The bottom line here is that regulate in the IEEPA isn't congressional code or language for levy duties or impose taxes. That means that the court finds the tariffs it issues are invalid. Now, the Trump administration has appealed this case and is hoping that the Supreme Court will take it up. So our big takeaways here from the majority, the IEEPA is not a backdoor tariff statute. If a president wants broad tariff tools, then he needs to use one of the statutes cited, or he needs to ask Congress to delegate more authority. So that's the crux of the case here. And the court, again, really focused on the text of the IEEPA, the structure of the IEEPA, and the idea that anytime the federal government acts, you have to point to part of the Constitution that gives you the power to act. Constitution gives Congress the power to regulate interstate commerce. Congress can delegate some of that power, but they didn't delegate the power to impose these tariffs. That's the punchline of the court's ruling here. Now, as I said, the Trump administration is asking the Supreme Court to take this case up. They're hoping, of course, that the Supreme Court will reverse. We will watch that case and bring you all the late-breaking details. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe.